This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
GMOs right now, people are furious. I haven't seen grassroots activism on a single environmental issue since the anti-nuclear days that gets people so upset.
Green America is one of the country's longest-standing environmental advocacy and action organizations. For the past 30 years, Elisa Gravitz has been at its helm, leading campaigns for green investment, corporate accountability, and fair trade. Today on Sea Change Radio, I chat with Elisa Gravitz about a number of Green America's current initiatives. She lends insight into the evolution of the American environmental movement over the past few decades, and what issues and strategies have been most effective in mobilizing people and businesses over these years of her work. She also talks about clean energy victory bonds, how to break up with your bank, and why she's hopeful that genetically modified seeds can be removed from our food system sooner than you might think. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by Elisa Gravitz. She's the president and CEO of Green America. Elisa, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Alex, it's great to be with you.
Elisa, can you tell us a little bit about Green America, what you focus on, and what you and your members are most passionate about?
So at Green America, we, as a green economy organization, we focus on three big areas of the economy: energy, food, and finance. We believe that if you want a just and sustainable economy, which you absolutely need if you want a just and sustainable future, that if you get those three sectors right, energy, food, and finance, the rest will come along. So our economic activism focuses in those three areas: energy, food, and finance. We always say when it comes to change, stopping the destruction, what we call the no energy, you got to do it. If there's destruction going on, if there's suffering going on, you got to stop it. And we call it the no. Very powerful. And then there's what we call building the new, finding the new solutions. We call it the yes energy. Some people love to do the no, the protests, the stopping, the boycotts. Some people love to do the yes, building up the new. They're both crucial. So we call it the biodiversity of strategies. Don't spend any time arguing. Do the one that you're most passionate about and you love to do the most, because we need them all. We know that from ecosystems, that the ecosystems that thrive the best are the ones that are the most robust. So we need lots and lots of good strategies and people working from wherever they are in their areas of passion. In the food area, we see people both going to the no, stopping corporate agriculture, stopping GMOs. There's a lot of energy, a lot of passion there. And there's a lot of passion for local food, sustainable food, slow food, creating local food systems. And both of those are going to scale. And of course, they complement each other, because if you don't want GMOs in your food, for example, well, what do? You go to local, sustainable, organic food. So, and of course, on the finance side, people are just so angry at that the big banks caused the economic meltdown that we saw in 2008 and have continued with all kinds of abuses. You know, everybody knows somebody that got inappropriately foreclosed on. So there's a lot of anger there and a lot of activism about how do you move your money out of the big Wall Street banks and to the community development financial institutions, both banks and credit unions, that are really there for people in the communities. Every step you take, whether it's a small one or a big one or a middle-sized one, every step you take is contributing to that shift to sustainability.
So one of the tools that touches upon both your energy and finance tranches are clean energy victory bonds. And I wanted to learn more about those. Can you explain to our listeners what a clean energy victory bond is and what Green America is doing to use this instrument to actuate change?
So clean energy victory bonds are modeled after the World War II victory bonds that people may have heard about from their parents and grandparents. During World War II, Americans raised, in today's dollars, over $2 trillion for the victory bonds that supported the transition from a domestic economy to the war footing, and played a huge role in winning that war, if you will. What was also interesting about the World War II victory bonds is that at 80% of the U.S. families had at least one. So people across the communities around the country were literally invested in making this transition. So fast forward to this new generation, and we have perhaps one of the biggest battles that we have got to win, which is climate. And we need to make huge investments to transition from the fossil fuel economy to the clean energy economy with no carbon, an energy economy with that produces the energy that we all want and need. The climate experts at the World Panel on Climate Change, along with the Stern Report, a British commission, looked at what would it take to make the investments at the speed and scale that we need. And we need to be investing at about 2% of our national gross domestic product. And unfortunately, we're at about 0.2%, so we got a long ways to go. So Green America has proposed that we take a strategy that our grandparents did so successfully and that we introduce clean energy victory bonds. And I do have to tell you a personal story. My grandmother, her name was Esther, told me about her buying World War II victory bonds, and she noted it as a time in her life when she really felt like she was part of something really important. And they were coming out of the Depression. She had a young family. My dad were, just little. Well, dad and his brother were just infants, and they had nothing coming out of the Depression. She said, "Elisa, we had nothing. I couldn't even afford nylon stockings. But when we did save a dime, I would go down to the post office and I would get a stamp for my victory bond book. And when I had $17.70 of stamps, I could turn it in for a $25 bond. That's how committed people were. And that's the kind of commitment we need now. So we have legislation in Congress that would create clean energy victory bonds so that people could support the investment in energy efficiency, solar energy, wind energy, electric vehicles, all of the non-carbon clean energy technologies that we need for a no-carbon clean energy future.
So is it kind of a way to ensure that quote-unquote government spending or the government spending that we want will go into a certain area only?
You got it. That's exactly right. These would be treasury bonds that are safe and secure, just like any other treasury bonds, and the proceeds from the sale of the bonds would go into creating clean energy opportunities in clean energy investments.
And is there a template that this is based on besides World War II? Is this being done in other countries that you know of?
Yes, there are other countries that have green bonds or clean energy bonds. They're selling very well, and they're doing exactly what is needed. The investments from the proceeds of the bonds are going into solar and energy efficiency and wind and all of that good, safe, clean energy.
Do you know what countries?
There's a European green energy bond. Canada has one. Right here in our one of our neighbors is working in exactly that way. So there are also some private clean energy or green energy bonds that are doing quite well. We are just interested in getting that big, big scale so that we can have several $1 trillion so that we can get that energy investment on top of all of the private sector investment that's going on. All of that is good. We just need more of it. So that's what we're excited about. And we explain our program on our special website for the Clean Energy Victory Bonds. It's cleanenergyvictorybonds.org. And what you see on the website is the description of the Clean Energy Victory Bonds and how they would work and how the proceeds would go to investing in clean energy. If the Congress passes the Clean Energy Victory Bonds and you would like to pledge to buy them when they exist, you can sign right up there on the website and say, yeah, I would buy $50 worth. I'd buy $500 worth. How many? Because that helps us make the clear and compelling case in Congress that we need these. And by the way, Congress is very interested on a bipartisan basis on these because, again, it's something that everyone can understand and say, we got to do more investing. That's good for the economy. It's great for jobs. Let's do this. So we've got great bipartisan interest. The other exciting thing is that not only do we have interest in Congress, but we also have several states that are looking at the legislation and figuring out how they might adopt it in their state. So, for example, the state of Connecticut, the state of Maryland are examples of two states that are using the model, the legislation as models for things that they can do inside their own states. So we're hoping that this can unleash more and more investment dollars going into clean energy, because that's what we need for a sustainable economy and a sustainable future.
Still, when I think of the road we're traveling on, I wonder what's gone wrong. I can't help it, I wonder what's gone wrong. And I dreamed I was dying. I dreamed that my soul rose unexpectedly. Looking back down at me, smiled reassuringly, and I dreamed I was flying. And high up above, my eyes could clearly see the Statue of Liberty sailing away to sea, and I dreamed I.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking with the president and CEO of Green America, Elisa Gravitz. Elisa, sticking to finance, you also have a campaign about breaking up with your mega bank. It's a way to reinvigorate investment with community banks. Can you explain how it works?
Absolutely. So the background on this one is that the Wall Street banks were at the center of the economic meltdown in 2008, which communities all of the, over this country and small businesses and families are still struggling with. In addition, when you look at the investment portfolios of these big banks, it's in all the things that we don't want for a green future. It's in the coal companies and the big ag companies and the Monsantos of the world. We need a different future for our what our money to do. You know, every time your money leaves your hand, it goes to work in the world. Every time you save or invest, that money goes to work in the world. And we have a say over where that money goes. Everybody in this country, almost, I think 99.9% of the people in this country have a checking account. And the big banks, you can name them, Citi, Bank of America, you can go on down the list. When you bank with them, you're supporting all of the investment and all of the abuses on both the community side, the social justice side, and the environmental side that these banks invest in. But you have a choice. You could have an account with a community development bank or credit union, and there the money is staying in your community, it's going to families, it's going to local businesses, and it's a completely different kind of financial picture. So we're encouraging everyone to move their money. On our Break Up With Your Mega Bank website, you can find how to do it. You know, how do I move my checking account? How do I get a responsible credit card? We even have, if I'm thinking about refinancing, how do I make sure that when I'm refinancing my house, I'm doing it with a community bank rather than one of the mega banks or the Wall Street banks. So it's a how to, any part of your banking that you're thinking about wanting to support a local bank rather than a Wall Street bank, it takes you through how to do that. We also, we always say there's two things you can do with your money. You can use your money and make your consumer choices and move your money. That sends a huge signal to the marketplace that companies that are doing wrong have to clean up their act, and companies that are doing right, you help propel them along. We also say use your voice along with your economic choices so the banks know, in this case, we're talking about banks, they know why you moved your money. So we encourage you to send a Dear John letter to your bank when you move your money, and we have some samples there, and to tell them why that you're moving the money.
That's a great idea.
So if you do break up with your Wall Street bank, please send them a Dear John letter. That amplifies your economic choice by using your voice. And you can post it on their Facebook page, and you know, lots of people will see that. The single best thing to do, however, is call them on their 800 number to let them know, because that costs them money. It costs them a lot of money to field an 800 call, an 800 number call, and they have to respond and be really nice to the representatives, because after all, they didn't make the policy, but let them know what you did and why, and that you want them to communicate that to their senior management, because the representatives do. At the end of the day, they, you know, they report the conversations they had and what they learned. So, and it's just very satisfying to know that you're, when you call that 800 number, you're costing them some money. So move your money. Let your banks know and come on over to Break Up With Your Mega Bank to see how to do it. We can take you through the simple steps.
And now, I don't know how much of this you can share with our listeners, but I'd be curious just to try to get an idea of the pulse of the environmental movement. And Green America covers so many areas. When you send out an email blast, let's pick 7 or 8 topics. Where do you think the richest vein right now is for the environmental movement? Is it activism against GMOs, the Keystone XL pipeline, banks, clean energy victory bonds, climate change? What shouts out at you, and what issue resonates most with your constituency?
Alex, you just put your finger right on it. Our constituency, in that order, it's food, energy, and finance. Right now, at the grassroots level, people are so concerned about the health of the food supply and all of the environmental implications of big agribusiness. GMOs right now, people are furious. I haven't seen grassroots activism on a single environmental issue since the anti-nuclear days that gets people so upset. And I think it's for 3 reasons that come together that are very powerful. First of all, people are very concerned about the health implications of GMOs, along with all the additional pesticides and herbicides that go along with growing GMO crops. Secondly, people are very concerned about the environmental impacts of the increased herbicides and pesticides that are needed on GMO crops. It affects the water supply. It affects farm workers. It's just an environmental disaster on that score. They're also, on the environmental side, very concerned about issues around the loss of our bees, colony collapse disorder. They're very concerned about the super weeds. Mother Nature is very adaptive and very resilient. So here we are trying to use GMOs. You change the DNA of the plant, and that's important to understand with GMOs. Some people say, well, haven't we been doing natural selection for years? I mean, not years, but literally thousands of years. Haven't human beings been doing that? Isn't that a form of genetic engineering? Yes, but genetically modified is completely different. You're literally taking a gene and splicing it into a plant in a way that it could not happen in nature. I mean, there's nothing, no matter how patient a geneticist would be or a farmer would be in making cross hybridization, you would never get, for example, a BT toxin gene from a bacterium into a plant. And then once you put that gene in, it's in every part of the plant, from the roots to the seed to the pollen. So people get really upset about that, because that creates all of these environmental and health concerns. And the purpose of the vast majority of the GMOs out there is not to help feed the world, but is to make the plants resistant to pesticides and herbicides, so that when a field is sprayed, the corn, for example, continues to grow, but the weeds die. Well, guess what? It turns out the weeds are pretty resilient, on top of all the other bad things, where you have the bees eating the pollen and it affecting the bees, and all the other bad environmental and health issues. The weeds are kind of like, well, we're just going to get more resilient. And so we've got a new crop of super weeds that first you have to add more herbicides to knock them out, which costs the farmers more, which makes it more toxic for farm workers. And then it's not working. And then there are other people who are really concerned about the corporate control. 3 companies, with Monsanto being the lead company in this triumvirate, now control 53% of the global seed supply. And that makes some people really upset. So you bring together the health, the environment, the corporate control issues, and you have people who come from one or more of those perspectives and are really upset about the GMOs. And when they're busy saying no to GMOs, they also say, I don't want to feed my families this stuff. And that makes them go and join all the wonderful people who are working at the local sustainable organic food level to say, hey, I'm with you guys too. I'm saying no to GMOs. I'm saying yes to local organic sustainable food. So you have a really powerful grassroots movement that has both the no issue, no more of this big corporate agriculture, and yes to sustainable organic food. So it's very powerful, and since it's about the food you eat and the environment we live in, it's pulling heartstrings all over the place. So it's a very, very exciting time for sustainable food. And by the way, I think this one is winnable. I think all it would take is about 3 years, and you could turn over the GMO seed supply and be on the pathway to a more sustainable food system.
Well, that's encouraging.
Follow the shift to sustainability with Sea Change Radio on Twitter at twitter.com/SeaChangeRadio and on our Facebook page.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm speaking with the president and CEO of Green America, Elisa Gravitz. Speaking of making tough decisions, I wanted to turn to the nonprofit world. And as the president and CEO of a large nonprofit like Green America, the choices that you have to make, one of your goals is to make sure that you and your colleagues are able to feed their families, and you're able to bring in money to keep your efforts afloat. Tell us about some of the conundrums that you may have faced or that you face when you're dealing with choosing the right corporate sponsors. You just talked about how you have these breaking up with the mega banks. A lot of these, the corporate world is a multi-headed gorgon, and it's very hard to wind your way through it untouched, unsullied, if you will.
So on the Green America site, our policy is no corporate support. We are supported completely by our members, and there's some also really wonderful, generous foundations out there. So the Green America side, the Green America organization, separate organization, no corporate support. We are an independent nonprofit. We do have business members, and these are small, local, independent businesses who have passed Green America certification program, which is known to be the toughest in the country, looking at not only environmental qualifications, but also what we call social justice and economic justice qualifications. So that means labor supply chain, what you're doing in your community, how you treat your workers, the whole nine yards. So if you are a small local business, there are over 4,000 businesses that have gone through our certification in our, and we really present them as the best of the green economy. And so we do have those business members, but boy, do we put them through the ringers. And they're not, I don't think they're what you mean by corporations.
So if Bank of America decided, hey, we really want to back the Green Festival this year in San Francisco, would they pretty much just get a big door slammed in their face, or how would that work?
So yeah, it would be pretty much a no. And we would say, we would be very polite about it. We would make a long list of the things that if they would like to be at Green Festival, here are the things you'd have to change. And you know, if they did it, we would welcome them. But, you know, if they completely changed how they finance large coal companies and stopped doing that, if they completely stopped financing agribusiness, if they completely changed how they were treating communities and foreclosures. So if they met that long list of criteria, we would be happy to welcome them. I don't know, Alex, what do you think? Do you think they're going to do that? So I'm not holding my breath. Let's just put it that way.
You got a variation on the Dear John letter fired up.
Exactly right. So on Green Festival, again, separate entity from Green America, we have, in order to be a green economy exhibitor, so a small, local, independent green business, you have to pass the Green America certification criteria. And so when you come to a Green Festival, if you choose to make any purchases, you'll know that you're buying from a local independent business that has the same vision that you do. We do have another section, a very small section that we call, that we just actually started a couple of years ago, that we do call our corporate innovators. And these are companies that are doing something in at least one part of their business that is so deep on sustainability that if the entire industry followed that, it would totally change the dial on that sector. And we do this because we actually, you know, we listen to feedback from people who come to the festivals, and they said, you know, we love the local green businesses, and we also believe that if the big guys don't change, we can't fully shift the economy. So can you find a way to catch the larger companies doing something right? You know, I think every parent of a toddler knows one of the good strategies is to catch them doing something right and say, good job, do more of that. So we created, based on that feedback, we created this thing called Corporate Innovators, where if there's, like I said, if there's a company doing something extraordinarily well, they can come and talk about that particular thing. So an example of that is the Ford Motor Company is one of our corporate innovators. And they have actually, between Global Exchange and Green America, they've been on our target list in prior years. So full blast on getting them to change policies. And they have made an extraordinary, in the last many years, they have made an extraordinary commitment to the future of mobility and have made an extraordinary commitment to their hybrids and electric vehicles. And those you can see at the festival. You can see the hybrids, you can see the electric vehicles, you can take a test drive. You can look at the Ford Motor Company's sustainability process, which ranges from the materials that they use in their cars. They found ways to use waste products and corn and so on and so forth, all the way to their conflict minerals policies. You know, any technology company, from our iPhones, our beloved iPhones, to maybe our less beloved cars, require minerals that are coming, that not only environmentally have to be done right environmentally, but also are coming from conflict regions, and sometimes benefiting the wrong side of those conflicts. So having good policies to make sure that you're doing that right as a company, very important. So we really do want to recognize companies when they are doing something that's right, and again, very deep when it comes to sustainability. No greenwashing, they've got to demonstrate it. It's true that the small business sector is an important sector, so we would get about, if we got the whole small business sector doing the right things, we'd have about half the economy, but we got to get all of the economy, we got to get the other half doing the right things.
The president and CEO of Green America, Alisa Gravitz. Alisa, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Oh, it was great fun, Alex. Thanks for all your great work.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Isaac Hayes, Paul Simon, and the Rolling Stones. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.